let us turn again to God's word and directing you to the closing verses in Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6 from verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. I want to consider then this blessing, the Aaronic benediction. We have looked at the verses, or certainly part of the verses previously, but I want us to consider the whole of this passage that we just read from verse 22 through to verse 27. The reason is, of course, that last Thursday we did consider what we have as the New Testament equivalent of this benediction there in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14, the apostolic benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen, says the apostle as he concludes that second letter to the church at Corinth. And there are similarities between those words that we were looking at last time and the words, this longer passage that I've read here at the end of Numbers chapter 6. And so to consider this Aaronic benediction, the words that were to be spoken over the nation, over the tribes of Israel, by the sons of Aaron, the priests. And two things really, how they are to bless in the name of God. We have God's name, and as we have God's name, so we also have God's blessing. And I want to follow that simple division for a while tonight. It's interesting, isn't it, that the words of the blessing were to be spoken by the priests. We know how the priests were those who would mediate between the people and their gods. It was the priests who were to serve in the tabernacle and then in the temple. We read that passage at the end of 1 Kings chapter 8, how after his long prayer at the dedication of the temple, King Solomon blesses the people. And then we have the various sacrifices that were offered on that auspicious day, the dedication of the temple. The priests then served God in the temple as they had served him previously in the tabernacle. They came before him and they would present sacrifices on behalf of the people, and they would also make prayers for the nation. They didn't just serve God at the brazen altar where the sacrifices would be subsequently offered, but they also served at the golden altar there before the Holy of Holies, where they burned the incense representative of the prayers. But as the priests mediated between men and God, so the priests also mediate between God and men. In Malachi chapter 2 and verse 7 we read these words: The priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. He's God's messenger to the people, just as he is a messenger on behalf of the people to God. And here we see that the priests were those who were to pronounce the Lord's blessing As it says in the last verse, they shall put my name upon the children of Israel and I will bless them. And so first of all, to say something with regards to God's name. What is the name of God? Well, we have it, of course, in those three verses, 24, 25 and 26, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. And it's the covenant name. It's the name Jehovah. It's that name that's derived from what God had said to Moses at the burning bush, when Moses had received that solemn call to be the deliverer of the children of Israel, to bring them forth out of that bondage that they were having to endure there in Egypt. And the Lord appears to him in the bush that burns, and yet the bush is not consumed. It's really the glory of God, the consuming fire, which is God in the midst of the bush. And then the Lord declares himself. Verse 14 of Exodus 3, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. And it's his very name, the great I am, the Lord, that is being put here upon the children of Israel. And it's a threefold name, of course, because it reminds us of the great doctrine of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Remember again the vision that Isaiah is favoured with, blessed with there in chapter 6 of his prophecy, when he sees the throne of God as he's there in the temple of the Lord. He has this remarkable vision granted to him, and he sees the angels about God's throne, and what do they say? Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, Holy Father, Holy Son, and Holy Spirit. As I said, there is certainly that similarity with what we were looking at last time, there at the end of 2 Corinthians, where we have in the fullness of the New Testament revelation the names, of course, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, that is the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. But it's the same persons. These are the three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, as John says. And although God's name is a threefold name, yet in verse 27 we see that the noun name is in the singular. God doesn't say they shall put my names. He says they shall put my name. And we're reminded of that, of course, when the believer makes his open profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and is baptized. Remember the commission that the Lord gave to his disciples there at the end of Matthew 28, go into all the world, preach the gospel unto every creature, baptizing them in the name, again it's singular, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And what do we see here in these verses 24, 25, 26? We have the Father, who is the source of salvation. In verse 24, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. We have the Son, the one who is the revealer of salvation. In the 25th verse, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Or as the blessing comes from the Father, so that blessing shines in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father is the source, the Son is the revealer, and the Holy Spirit is the one who makes application. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Where does that peace come? It comes by and through the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so here we see that the blessing is very much in God's name. But let's, in the second place, consider more carefully the blessing itself. And we see how the emphasis in the words that are to be pronounced very much falls on the face of God, or the countenance of God. We have it twice. Verse 25, the Lord make his face shine upon them. And then verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon them. The lifting up of the countenance is synonymous, really, with the shining of the face of God. Remember the words of the wise man in the book of Proverbs when he says, as in water face answers to face, so the heart of a man to man. The importance of the face and what it is to see one another's faces, to look into each other's eyes, the importance of these things. The experience of Jacob when he discovers that Joseph is yet alive in Egypt, and then he's taken to see this son that he thought was long ago dead and gone. And what does he say? Genesis 48:11, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. Oh, he never thought he'd see his face again. What a blessing it was. And how wonderful it is, of course, when we're parted from loved ones for any season, and then we see them again, and we see their faces. And the joy on faces, the face answering to face, as says the wise man there in the proverb. And so Jacob again, when he's so favoured of God at the brook of Peniel, where he wrestles with the angel, where the angel is wrestling with him. And he is the one who gives the place that particular name. He called it Peniel. And the margin there in Genesis 32 indicates quite clearly just what that name means. It has meaning, as is so often the case, of course, with names here in Holy Scripture. And Peniel literally means the face of God. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, he says, and my life is preserved. Now, where is it? Where is it that God reveals himself? Where is it that God, as it were, shows his face? Is it not in the Lord Jesus Christ himself? Well, we often refer to those words in 2 Corinthians 4:6, that the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness shine in our hearts to show the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God's glory is seen there in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting because what we have there is the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same word is used previously in 2 Corinthians 2:10, where we have this statement, for your sakes, he says, I forgave it in the person of Christ. There the word is translated the person of Christ. In chapter 4 and verse 6, it's translated in the face of Christ. His glory shining in the face, in the person. It's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon thee. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ then that God really reveals himself. Isn't Christ that one who is the image of the invisible God? It's in the incarnation, it's with the coming of the Saviour that we really see the glories that belong unto God. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ then is really the Lord. He is Jehovah Jesus, God manifest in the flesh. He says at the end of John chapter 8, before Abraham was, I am. He is the I am. And throughout John we have that I am revelation in all those things that Christ says of himself. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door. I am the vine. All this is the revelation of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in Christ then that God, and only in Christ, that God is and can be known. And how grievous it is for the child of God when, as it were, that face is veiled. Oh, the psalmist knew it at times. He felt as if he'd been deserted by God. We know our sins separate between us and God. He says as much. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sin has hid his face from you. And the psalmist cries out, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Isn't that what we feel when we transgress, when we fall, when Satan comes and gains that awful advantage over us and entraps us? And we feel the distance. And we want the Lord to come again and to address us as he does the psalmist. There in Psalm 27:8, when thou sayest, seek ye my face. My heart said, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. Oh, when the Lord puts it in our hearts to seek his face, to come and make our confessions, to acknowledge our sins. Again, the psalmist says, doesn't he? There be many that say, who will show us any good, Lord? Lift up the light of thy countenance upon me. Isn't that what we really desire, that the Lord is smiling upon us, that we know we have his favour, his blessing? This is the blessing then. The Lord make his face shine upon them. The Lord lift up his countenance upon them. And it reminds us of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is that one in whom we see God. And we see him, as it were, face to face. But then also here, this great benediction reminds us of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks, doesn't it, of grace and of peace. Be gracious unto thee and give thee peace. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ that we have that remarkable display of God's grace towards sinners. That favour, that blessing that is altogether unmerited. There's nothing in the sinner that brings God to an attraction. God is gracious because he's a gracious God. The Lord is good. The Lord does good. And what does John say there in the opening chapter of his gospel? The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. Oh, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he were rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. This is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how we see it worked out in his life, in all that he has to endure in this fallen world at the hands of men. But then ultimately all that he must endure there upon the cross, where he makes the great sin-atoning sacrifice, where he bears in his own person all that wrath that was due to the sins of those that were given to him in the covenant. And he cries in the language of Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He experienced the hiding of the face of God. And why so? He experiences that in order that sinners might know the shining of the face of God. That's why, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And he will bear then that wrath that was their just desert, because of the great love that he bears towards them. Oh, here we have grace. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Oh, this man shall be the peace, says the prophet Micah. This man. Oh, that is the man. The man Christ Jesus. The second man. The Lord from heaven, the last Adam. This man. And how is he the peace? It's by and through that great work that he accomplished upon the cross. And Paul speaks of it so often in his epistles, the language that we have there, writing in his letter to the Colossians in chapter 1, verse 20, he says, of Christ, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Or you, he says, were enemies, alienated, and yet made nigh by the blood of Christ, because he endured the hiding of the Father's face. Oh, there is that gracious smiling. The Lord looks with favour upon the sinner who is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has made peace. And what is that peace? Well, it's associated with propitiation, those words that we find in John's first general epistle. In 1 John 2:2, he is the propitiation for our sins, John says. And then again in chapter 4 and verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation. Yes, it's a technical word, it's a theological term, but it's a precious term, because it reminds us that God's justice is now satisfied. God's wrath has been visited upon that blessed substitute who has died the just for the unjust to bring sinners to God. Oh, these then are the blessings that we have. And the blessings centre in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work. Remember what we said concerning those two words, person and face, are interchanged when Paul writes there in 2 Corinthians. In chapter 2 and verse 10, I refer to those words, for your sakes I forgave it in the person of Christ. But then in chapter 4 and verse 6, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's in Christ then that we see God. And then here also we have this keeping. In the first of the blessings, the Lord bless thee and and keep thee. As I said, it's the Father who is the source of all good, the source of all blessing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, says Paul, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. And as the Father has made that choice, so the Father keeps his people. They're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Or what does Christ say? I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish. No man is able to pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. They're kept safe. It's the name of the Lord, isn't it? They shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them, says the Lord God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. Oh, it's that name of the Lord, they run into it. How are they brought then to enter into that blessed place? Well, it's through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Christ says of him, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Oh, he leads, he directs them. He speaks of Christ, he reveals, he glorifies Christ in them as the only Saviour. He ministers peace to all those who are convicted of their sins. This is the blessing then. It's that blessing that comes in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's what the priests are to do. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, and say unto his sons, and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel. And of course, the Aaronic priesthood is typical, it's a type of the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christ is an unchanging priesthood. He's a priest after the order of Melchizedek, as we're told in Hebrews. And we're to consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. What do these priests do in the Old Testament? Well, they make sacrifices. They pray. They bless the people. And the Lord Jesus Christ does all of those things as the fulfillment of the office. He's not only the high priest, he's the sacrifice, he's the Lamb of God. He offers himself. He makes his soul an offering for sin. And he prays. We have his high priestly prayer for his people recorded there in John 17. How he prays. Oh, we're told, aren't we, by the apostle, he is able also to save unto the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He ever lives, he's in heaven. He lives in the life, in the power of an endless life, there in heaven, and his very presence. His session there at the Father's right hand is a constant prayer for his people. He has entered heaven itself. Just as the high priest and the Old Testament would enter into the Holy of Holies before the mercy seat, so Christ has gone to that holy place in heaven to appear in the presence of God and to make intercession. He's a praying priest, and he's a priest who blesses his people. Isn't that what we witness at the end of Luke's Gospel, where he speaks of the Lord's departure from his disciples Luke 24:50, he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Oh, he, in his very going, in his leaving them, he is blessing them. He is blessing them. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Says Luke, amen. He blesses them. They return to Jerusalem. And what are they doing? They're blessing and they're worshipping God. The Lord is that one then who is the real priest who comes to bless his people. I read that passage at the end of 1 Kings chapter 8 because we've been reading through those chapters, and it did strike me how that there at the dedication King Solomon doesn't just pray and offer sacrifices, but he also blesses the people. And of course Solomon also is a remarkable type of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Solomon blesses Israel, so the Lord Jesus Christ blesses all his Israel, all that spiritual Israel, even those that were given to him by the Father. And what a blessing it is. Thou blessest, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever, we read. Thou blessest, O Lord, it shall be blessed forever. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. This is the God then that is here in this Old Testament benediction, this Aaronic benediction. And it's God's name. That's a wonderful thing. The blessing is the putting of the name of God upon the children of Israel. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Or what do we read at the end of Scripture? There in Revelation 22, heaven they shall see his face, it says, and his name shall be in their foreheads. They shall see his face. That's the prospect. No more any hiding of his face. No more sin. Sin can never enter there. Sin will never again separate between us and our God or hide his face from us. That's the prospect. Oh, the Lord grant that tonight we might know something then of that gracious shining of the face of God, the enshining of the gospel into our hearts as we come before the Lord in prayer. The Lord bless his word to us. Let us, before we pray again, turn to the hymn number 556. The tune is 73 Trentum. The Lord proclaims his name, and sinners hear his voice. His mercy ever stands the same, and we'll in him rejoice. His name is gracious still, and freely he bestows the bounty of his sovereign will on all who feel their woes. The hymn 556, tune 73.